All right, nobody gets to fall asleep, even though we lost an hour of sleep last night. Jenny drove home this morning, surprised me. I didn't expect her back from Orlando today. And so keep an eye on Jenny. If she kind of keels over in the pew, then try to help her out. It's good to see everybody here. We're glad for our visitors as well. I want to continue with the theme that Bert has introduced this morning on discipleship. And I want to start by just asking the question, what do we learn if we look at four truths about evangelism from the scriptures? What do we learn? First of all, I thought maybe it'd be good to ask, was Jesus an evangelist? And of course, the answer to that is yes. He came preaching that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, the gospel of Christ, the good news. Was Paul an evangelist? Yes. Was John the baptizer an evangelist? Sure, but what I'd like us to see this morning is that every one of us is an evangelist. So that's the kind of theme I want to be running through our study this morning, that every one of us needs to see ourselves as an evangelist. So here's four truths about evangelism. What do we learn? Number one, in the Great Commission, Jesus said to make disciples by preaching, baptizing, and teaching them to follow Jesus. So there's a number of elements in there. When we usually think of evangelism, we usually think of the preaching and the baptizing, converting people, helping people to become Christians. And certainly that's the priority. They can't become disciples of Christ without being converted by the gospel. But notice also in this passage in Matthew chapter 28 that the apostles were commanded to teach them to observe all things that Christ had commanded. And so there's an ongoing process in this matter of making disciples. And so you'll see that in the other three facts that I'm going to introduce to you. Paul said, evangelists and other teachers in Ephesians 4 and verse 12, equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. So think about the role and the work of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the gifts that Christ gave to the church, Ephesians 4 and verse 11. What was their job? Their job was to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Notice that evangelists are included in that list of teachers. All of those offices that you see in Ephesians 4 and verse 11 are teachers. And so what do teachers do? What do evangelists do? Evangelists equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. And the idea is that we all attain to the unity of the faith and that the body is built up in so much as each one is doing his or her part. And so evangelists are involved in that, aren't they? They're not just men who go about converting people. They're men who equip the saints for the work of service. And then here's another fact to consider. Evangelists like Timothy and Titus remained in churches teaching Christians how to be disciples of Jesus. They were located in various places. Timothy, we know, was at Ephesus for quite a long time. Peter was in Caesarea for many, or Philip, I'm sorry, not Peter. Philip was in Caesarea for maybe as long as 20 years, and he's called Philip the Evangelist. What was he doing? He was equipping the saints for the work of service. He was teaching the word of God in order to help people become disciples, better disciples, you might say. So initially, people are converted and they become disciples of Jesus, learners, followers. But in order to really, truly become a disciple of Jesus, you need ongoing teaching, ongoing training from the word of God. And that's what evangelists do. They don't just convert people. They equip the saints for the work of service, the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, Jesus said that a disciple is not above his teacher, but when everyone is fully trained, he will be like his teacher. And that's what becoming a disciple is about. It's about becoming like Jesus. And as we mentioned, was Jesus an evangelist? And so you are to see yourself as becoming like Jesus. You are, in fact, an evangelist. You're not a full-time evangelist like Paul was. As Carlton pointed out, Paul worked in a secular job of building tents for some time, but when he was fully supported and able to spend all of his time preaching the word, that's what he did. He was a full-time evangelist. But every one of us is an evangelist in a sense that we're involved in the building up of the body. We're involved in becoming disciples like Jesus, which means that we are becoming more and more an evangelist as we grow and as we learn. And so our job as an evangelist is not only to convert people to Christ, but also to do what? To assist and help and be a part of equipping the saints for the work of service. So you have a job to do. As you become more and more like Jesus, as you become a disciple of Jesus and you grow more in your discipleship, you grow more in your ability and in your desire and in your effort, in your work and in the time that you spend of evangelizing, of equipping the saints for the work of service. And then the fourth fact we'll look at is that every one of Paul's letters was evangelistic, but they were evangelistic to the saved, not the lost. Paul wrote letters to the saved and instructed them and evangelized them and encouraged them and strengthened them. And he was equipping the saints for the work of service. He was doing the work of evangelism. So that's really what I want us to get out of this, is that every one of us needs to see ourselves as a disciple of Christ, meaning we're growing more and more to follow him in his work as an evangelist. We are becoming more and more equipped to evangelize. So as Daryl pointed out a few weeks ago when we talked about the work of the church going forward here, this congregation is in search of a second evangelist. And I guess you call me the first evangelist. I'm fully supported by the church here and this congregation to serve this work as an evangelist. And so when we say a second evangelist, we're really talking about another man that we can bring in to the work here who will do the work of evangelism and be supported on a full-time basis, or at least as much as we are able to do that initially. He may have to get some support elsewhere initially until we're able to fully support him. But we're in search of an evangelist. I want you to notice, and I'm bringing this to your attention because I'm impressed with this list of relationship principles that, and Daryl went over this a little bit a few weeks ago. When we're looking for an evangelist, what are we looking for? And so we have a list of relationship principles that we present to these men who might be looking for this type of work to do, and we're telling them what we're looking for. Number one, first and foremost, we understand our evangelist to be a child of God, a brother, and a member of our local family, and we plan to treat you as such. It should go without saying, but that's important because sometimes evangelists are not looked at that way. I'm just a brother in Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a member of the local family here. I'm not exalted on high. I'm not anybody different than you. I should be treated the same way. I should be viewed in the same manner. And so that's what we want in any man that would serve in the role of an evangelist. But here's where I begin to really look at the work that we're asking this evangelist to do. We want you to have a primary focus on personal evangelism, with the bulk of your efforts directed toward generating and teaching personal and small group Bible studies. Personal and small group Bible studies is the work of evangelism. That's the work of evangelism. When you teach people one-on-one or one-on-three or group discussions and studies, that's when people really learn to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. They get to ask questions. They get to explore ideas, make applications. Preaching is important, and God set it up in the church for public preaching to be done. But the work of evangelism on a day-to-day basis is done in people's homes or in restaurants like we do at Culver's, or in just in personal group or one-on-one Bible studies. Now, that's your work as well as an evangelist. That's where you're going to do the work that God wants you to do as a disciple, is in one-on-one or small group Bible studies. And that's what I think we do a very good job here of emphasizing in this congregation, that that's the true work of evangelism. I've been in churches where most people in the church think of the work of evangelism as doing what I'm doing right now. And they primarily focus on that as the work of an evangelist, to publicly proclaim the gospel. And that certainly is involved. But the primary work of an evangelist on a day-to-day-to-day basis is small group Bible studies and one-on-one studies. And so that's who we're looking for. We expect you to be busy in the local church, the communities, surrounding areas, and the prisons. Now, the point I'm making here is that the work of an evangelist is not just to the lost. And we emphasize that here. Small group Bible studies and one-on-one studies with members of the congregation. Involvement in the local church, not just the community and surrounding areas. Involvement in the local church. We're looking for a man who can relate to people and attract people to sit down with him and spend some time across the table studying the Word of God and sharing the Word of God together. We expect you to spend about 50% of your time involved in prison ministry and the men in transition from the prison. Notice, in prison ministry, we're blessed here to have that opportunity, and any man that we bring in should take advantage of that opportunity, because it's an awesome opportunity to go and preach the gospel to men who may never have heard it before. But then there's also the idea of what? Of working with the men in the transition program. That's evangelism too. And getting together with men and studying with men and encouraging men and teaching men and training men. We want somebody who wants to sit down with brothers and sisters in Christ in the local church and study the Bible together and talk about spiritual things together. Not just a man who will stand in the pulpit and be a very effective public speaker. That's important, but it is not really the primary work of evangelism. We expect you to be regularly involved in the congregational Bible class teaching rotation. See the involvement in the local church? See the work that's being done by an evangelist? With brethren, with the saved. We expect you to be a regular teacher in our spiritual principles Bible studies. Let me pause for just a moment and talk about those spiritual principles Bible studies that are going on. Usually you're in a group once a month. You meet together in someone's home and you get together and study the Bible. Thank God we have so many men here and so many hosting families that are willing to help in this work. You're doing the work of evangelism. It's all amongst brethren. And there might be a visitor from the community in some of these occasionally, but this is primarily the work of teaching and studying with brethren. What are we doing? We're doing the work of evangelism. And you teachers are evangelizing, and you hosting families are providing the means by which this church can evangelize and how we can all participate together in evangelism. We expect you to be a part of the normal monthly pulpit rotation. There's the real focus, right? That's what most people think. This man that we bring in will not be given that opportunity very often. He'll be involved in the monthly pulpit rotation that the men are involved in here, where once a month one of the men preaches the gospel from the pulpit here. The man we bring in will be involved in that rotation. And so he won't be doing a lot of public preaching, at least here. But will he be doing the work of evangelism? Absolutely. And that's what we're looking for. And though several are already involved, we want you to be involved with following up with visitors and new contacts. Now, that's another aspect of evangelism, isn't it? In this case, usually with people who are from the community who may not know Christ and are not yet Christians. But sometimes it's people who are visiting from other congregations who are already Christians and need encouragement, need teaching, maybe even are seeking to become a member of the local congregation here. And so a man will be doing the work of evangelism. We as a congregation want and plan to be involved with the work you do. We expect you to encourage the congregation's involvement in your work. Again, I'm just trying to emphasize how much of the work of evangelism is really focused on the church here, not just the lost. And so, in that respect, are you
a contributing evangelist here?
Absolutely. You must be. As a disciple of Christ, becoming more and more like Jesus, view your work as the work of evangelism. You're trying to teach and equip the saints for the work of service. You're trying to build up the body of Christ. You're trying to do your part in sharing the word. And it might be that you do this primarily in your home, with your family, with your kids. That's the work of evangelism. Or you might have a group of friends or neighbors or whatever. You're doing the work of evangelism. When you're doing personal studies, one-on-one studies, studies in your home, devotions in your home. And the last two items on the list is we want you to come and share your needs freely with us. You're a member of the body here. You're not some person that we placed on a pedestal somewhere. You're just a member of the body of Christ, and you have needs, and you have you may need help at some point in your life. We want you to feel comfortable in coming to us and sharing them with us. And we believe your primary role is in spiritual business, not serving tables or being the lawn guy. I remember when I first came here in 2016 and this list was given to me, very similar list. And I looked at that last item there and I went, yes. You know, I don't need to be the lawn guy or the guy, the go-to guy for every physical problem that might occur in the building or whatever. I'm not the handyman for the church. And of course, no church would ever want me to be the handyman for the church. All right. So I want to conclude this morning with just some observations. It's going to just throw a whole bunch of information at you all at once here, but I hope that what you'll do is you'll just take that and just get the sense for how big of a job this is and how significant it is that you have to be involved in evangelizing, equipping your brethren for the work of service. And in so doing, I want to focus in on the two great commands: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands hang the law and the prophets. Everything that God wants to teach us is involved in these two commands: to love God, to love our neighbor. So in thinking of your work as an evangelist, this is what you're focused in on. You want people to love God and you want people to love their neighbor, and you're helping to equip your family, your brethren, people with the knowledge of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I also want to bring up 1 Timothy chapter 4 and look at Paul's instruction to Timothy when he says, command and teach these things, verse 11, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example. And so an evangelist, we're looking for a man who's going to be setting an example for the brethren, because we learn by example. And it's important whenever someone's teaching that their example supports their teaching. And so Paul tells Timothy, look, you're young. People are going to look down on you perhaps because of your youth. And so it's very important for you to let no one do that by setting the right example. People can look down on you for your youth sometimes because you deserve to be looked down on, because you're not acting and behaving in the way that you should act and behave. But Timothy, don't let that happen. You set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, commit yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy. When the council of elders laid their hands on you, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. So that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And so I guess the first point to be made in regard to being an evangelist is set the right example. You want to help your brethren. You want to equip your brethren. You want to teach your children. You want to help your spouse get to heaven. You set the right example. And then your words will be heard. Your words will be listened to. People will not look down upon you because you preach one thing and practice another. And moreover, the more you are focused on setting that example, what do you think is happening? You're growing. You're developing. You're persisting in these things. You're getting stronger and stronger as a disciple yourself, and therefore more able to teach and equip and do the work of evangelism that God has called you to do. And so keep Jesus' commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus said. And so what an evangelist does is he focuses, much like what Carlton did today, in reminding us of the authority behind the practice of worship that we engage in every Lord's Day. We are to develop an understanding of the authority of Jesus Christ. Because if you love Jesus, you will keep his commandments. And so you're learning what pleases him. And these scriptures I'm not going to read for you for the sake of time this morning, but I would love to. We'd spend a good hour of class time perhaps going through all of these scriptures and showing how significant these concepts are in terms of being a true disciple of Jesus. How do I submit to his authority? Not just do I, of course I do, but how do I understand Jesus' authority? That needs to be trained and taught. And your work is to learn that, to grow in your understanding of that. How do I abide within his word? What does that mean? What does that look like? How to worship him in spirit and truth? How to preserve unity based on truth, not on compromise? How to trust him with all my heart? How to love like he loves? And that's where I'll spend the next couple of minutes. Because that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to learn what it looks like, what it means to love one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus said in John 13, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you love one another. And he said, it's a new commandment that I give you. And the newness, I think, is not that God never commanded people to love, but that it's such a high level that we're called to love like Jesus loved. That's what he said. To love even as I have loved you, that you learn. Because that's how all people will know that you're my disciple. And so we're training our children that way, to learn what it looks like to love people. And we're living that in our own lives to set the example of loving our brethren, loving our neighbor, loving our spouse, loving people. And so set the example in regard to that. Learn how to put on humility. There's so many one another passages in the New Testament scriptures. Some people have counted them upwards of 40 to 50. Some lists have 30, 34, something like that. That's a lot. There's a lot of one another passages, and these are all directed to brethren. And so learn to love one another. Love your family. You love your physical family. Learn to love your spiritual family. And learn to love your physical family even better. That's the true testing ground of learning to love, isn't it? So there's so many one another passages. Be of the same mind toward one another. Esteem one another as better. Submit to one another. Give preference to one another in honor. Be at peace with one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another, receive one another. Again, we could spend a long time looking at these passages and these concepts and making application, right? Well, that's what we should be doing. As evangelists, as disciples of Christ, as ones who are becoming more and more like Jesus, we're learning how to what these things look like. How do I apply these concepts to my daily life? And so, number one, how do I put on humility? How do I serve? Serve one another. Have compassion for one another. Be devoted to one another. Be kind to one another. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Show hospitality to one another. Pray for one another. You see the job that we've been given to grow in all of these areas. That takes a lot of effort and work to spend time in the Word of God. Are you doing that? Are you growing in your discipleship? Are you spending time thinking about these principles, these teachings? This is who Jesus is, and we're supposed to become more and more like Him. So again, this gives me a good framework within which to focus. And an evangelist that we bring into the congregation, we want him to be able to set an example in all of these ways, don't we? And to be working toward that goal. No one is perfect, and no one's going to set the perfect example at all times. But we want somebody dedicated, committed to growing in their love for God and growing in their love for one another. How to edify, build up, encourage, build up one another, consider one another, to stir one another up unto love and good works, assemble with one another, exhort and comfort one another, admonish one another, teach in word and song. These are all one another commands that we're supposed to be mastering as we become more and more like Jesus. It's a big job, isn't it? And so, as evangelists, we're not only teaching others by our example and by our involvement. Again, in what? What do evangelists do? Publicly preach? Yes. But what do the evangelists really do on a day-to-day basis? They engage in Bible studies with people, one-on-one spiritual conversations and studies to help people become more like Jesus. And so these one another passages are perfect to focus in on with our families, with our brethren, in our homes. And then fourth, how do we avoid these destructive behaviors? We're not supposed to judge one another critically. We're not supposed to murmur against one another or complain and dispute with one another or bite and devour one another or speak evil of one another or lie to one another. You see how the one another passages give us a full spectrum of what it looks like to love one another, to fulfill the second great commandment. And so we're learning to love God. We're learning to love our brother, our neighbor. And that's what makes us disciples more and more and more in our lives. So that's the kind of man we're looking for to bring in here, is somebody who will focus on those matters and be willing to commit himself to engaging in one-on-one and small group Bible studies with people in order to help them become more like Jesus. Not just convert people, not just help people become Christians, which is, of course, is primary. And without that, you can't help anybody be a disciple. But it's not the sole job. In other words, it's not the only work of an evangelist. An evangelist focuses very much on the brethren and equipping the saints for the work of service. So I'll close with this slide. A primary goal of evangelism is to teach me how to be my brother's keeper. How to love my brother. How to help my brother to grow spiritually. I may need to be instructed if I'm mistaken in doctrine. I may need to be restored if I'm overtaken in sin. I may need to be won back if I'm hurtful to others. I may need to be admonished, warned if I'm unruly. I may need to be comforted if I'm discouraged. And I may need to be helped if I'm weak, if I'm infirmed, if I'm having difficulties. Everybody needs to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so we bring people to Jesus like Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. We bring people to Jesus for what? So that they'll be baptized? Yes. But then what? To grow as a disciple. To learn what it means to become more and more like Jesus our Lord. I appreciate your good attention this morning. Hopefully it gives you some things to think about in your home, in your family, where you need to be focusing on. Maybe you get a copy of these slides. They'll be posted up on the internet. As soon as Rick gets the audio up there, I post the PowerPoint slides. And you can download those or you can make a request from me. But I love this list of one another passages that keeps me focused on what I'm supposed to be doing and how I'm supposed to be growing and what I'm supposed to be teaching. And so take advantage of the opportunities that we have in the local congregation here to do that. And
and participate in that as much as you possibly can, because that's the work of evangelism. And all of us are evangelists. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, please make that known to us so we can study together with you. You're here. You're interested, obviously, in Jesus. So let's see what Jesus has to say by his authority, what one must do in order to be saved. And then we know, and we submit, and we obey. Or if you'd like the prayers of the congregation, whatever your need may be, we invite you to stand as we sing.